We should start by praying, shouldn't we? Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you that we're able to meet here today. And I thank you for the privilege of being able to share this, share what you have done in my life with these people, with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, I thank you for each and every one of them today. And I pray that you will take me and you will guide me and help me to speak what you want me to say. Father, I thank you and I give you thanks for everything. In your precious name, I pray all these things. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to start with a scripture. I'm going to start with Psalm 18. I don't know about you, but I love the Psalms. I get so much from them. And when I was putting this together to write some notes down, and I was going through the scriptures that meant so much to me, I very nearly said to Rob, just write the whole Bible. Might as well just read the whole Bible. But I've chosen ones that were really special to me. So it's not the whole of Psalm 18, it's selected verses 1 to 6, 16 to 18, 28 to 31, and 46 to 49. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled round me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against the troops. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God beside the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? And finally, the Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God, my Saviour. He is the God who avenges me, who subdues nations under me, who saves me from my enemies. You exalted me from my foes, from violent men you rescued me. Therefore, I will praise you among the nations, O Lord. I will sing praises to your name. Amen. So I guess this is where I talk about a little bit about me. I was brought up as a Methodist, and my great-grandfather was actually a Methodist preacher. So I was brought up with the church, and I remember quite frequently going to Sunday school, and I used to get the books and you know, used to love reading the books about Jesus and the stories. And I used to go to Sunday school and in Scunthorpe. And I remember vividly being there and being in the little church hall where we were, and being able on certain days to actually go into the big church. And it was really quite exciting as we all sat to the front and we all got presented with our books and what have you. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. I remember that. But when I grew into a teenager, it kind of slid, and I obviously became less interested in what God had to say, and basically only attended church like some of us do from time to time, weddings, christenings, and funerals, although I always remember church being part of my early life. But life moved on. Very soon after I left school, I got married. Had to get married in church. My dad was still alive, and it was a lovely day. But that marriage ended in violence. And it was a period of my life where God just didn't figure. And I moved away from home. my life, it took me further away from God. I moved down to London, and I just got on with life, living my life. I had fun. I was, I guess, going through my teenage years, but a bit later than everybody else. I had another partnership, ended in yet more violence. And I became kind of obsessed with the theatre for some reason. I gave up on relationships, and I had a really good girlfriend, and we drove around the country having fun, following these theatre people. And I can't remember ever praying or ever thinking of God even. But I had a Bible that was presented to me by my Nana. It was my Nana's Bible. It was presented to her by her grandfather. So it's a very, very old Bible. And I always had it. And I always made sure that it was somewhere near. But I couldn't explain why. When I was down in London, I met my husband. He was a lapsed Catholic. And although we didn't attend church, we did go to church, obviously, with his family, and I began to feel something. Whenever we went to either a wedding or a funeral or a christening, there was something there. But I always enjoyed singing songs, but I didn't quite understand what was going on. We enjoyed a really good life. We had good jobs, and we travelled the world. We went all over the place. But wherever we went, I always had to visit the temples. And my husband and I always used to split up, and he used to go and look at buildings. And I used to visit churches and temples. Again, I don't understand. I didn't understand then why. I just knew I had to go and visit them. So obviously, something was stirring in me then. And in 1 Peter 5:10, "And the God of all grace who called you," and I really believe that God was calling me so far back, it was about 30 years ago. But our relationship, it began to unravel. We've kind of found ourselves just living different lives. He became more controlling. And although it was kind of subtle abuse, it was mental abuse, and it became more and more apparent. At this time, I had my dream job. We were living in Crewe at the time, and I managed 2 boot stores. So it was really hard. It was a stressful job, because you can imagine I had 2 stores that were opposite one another, and whenever something happened in one, I was always over in the other. So I was constantly going backwards and forwards. But again, God just did not figure in my life. And I relished the challenge. But in 2007, everything changed. There was a horrendous situation at work that developed. It was really difficult to manage. And I'd been put in this position of management without any training. It was just a case of my boss liked me, so said, "Oh yeah, you can have that job." And I just accepted it. And I loved it. I did enjoy it. But this situation was really, really hard to handle. And my husband and I always had wine in the fridge, and we'd always come home at night time, sit in the garden and have a glass of wine. But I started to drink more and more. And it was basically to relieve the stress and to help me sleep, because at that time I couldn't sleep. The stress was unbelievable. We went on holiday, and we actually went to Hong Kong, of all places, for my husband's 40th birthday. But it was not a good holiday, and we both realised that the marriage just wasn't going to survive. But we stayed together for that time. And when I got home, the situation at work had really escalated. Area managers had got involved, and it was absolutely awful. And I really struggled to deal with it. And then a couple of weeks after we got back and we were dealing with this, and I didn't realise that I was pregnant and I had a miscarriage. So that, again, in itself was stressful. I went back to work, obviously having had the miscarriage, and on the day I went back, I was disciplined by my boss. And I think, although two people lost their jobs through this, I kind of was made to be a scapegoat. And I was removed to another job without even being able to say goodbye to the people that I'd been working with. So it was particularly stressful. And I'd gone beyond wine now, and I'd started drinking spirits. And it became more and more of an issue. And I drank to cope. At first, I did really feel that I could control it. For a while, I guess I did. But like everything, it begins to control yourself. Through all this horrendous stuff that was going on, my marriage ended at that time as well. And I was very, very close to losing my job. And when I think of it now, I mean, it's not a time that I'm proud of. But Jesus said in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." And at that point, I think Jesus really realized, I mean, really knew, this girl needs saving. She needs saving from herself. I found that I couldn't cope without having a bottle in the house. I never drank at work. Never ever drank at work, but I would drink as soon as I got home. I would drink to sleep. If it was my day off, I would plan to drink. Once the marriage broke up, I did try and seek comfort in another relationship. But I made a lot of bad choices in my life, and this one was probably the worst choice that I ever made. And it ended up with police and ambulances at the house. So it was a pretty rough time. And things came to head in July 2007. And I can see myself now standing there in the kitchen with a knife. And I was close to a knife edge of ending my life. But both my neighbour, who was quite close to me and knew that I was struggling, and my mum, obviously, they joined together and they dragged me to get help. And I was diagnosed, obviously, with depression. I was given time off work and I was given counselling. About 4 weeks later, I managed to get myself together. I was still off work. I couldn't even go into a boot store. I couldn't go past a boot store for about 3 months. But I just felt I needed to get away, and although I felt guilty about going, I booked a short holiday and I went to Rome. I had to go to Rome. It was the time of Dan Brown's books, and there was a book all about Rome. And I thought, oh, it'd be a nice place to go. So I took myself off to Rome. My mum was absolutely petrified. Oh my goodness, you're gonna drink again, you're gonna blah, blah, blah. But I didn't. I went and I walked and I walked and I walked. And I came home with blisters on top of blisters. But for 4 days, I just took a camera and I just took photographs and I just walked. And I found so much peace just being on my own. But whenever I turned a corner and there was a church, I had to go into it. Now, I know this is Catholic, but I felt such a peace when I was in there. And I couldn't explain it. I even found myself finding out that the prayer, the quiet places, and I found myself lighting candles and saying prayers. I couldn't understand it. I felt peace, but I didn't know why. I didn't understand what this peace was. I just knew that there was something there. So I came home, and then I lived near a canal. And in the September, before I went back to work, I found myself, there was a boat rally and there was all sorts of canal boats and stuff. And it was a beautiful day, glorious day. So off I went, something to do. While I was down there, I found that there was going to be an outdoor church service by something called the Beacon Church. Never heard of them, never been in any of the churches in Whitchurch. But something was telling me I knew I had to stay for it. And then during the service, it was like an express train just smacked me in the face. It was just unbelievable. I didn't know what it was I was experiencing, but this was what I wanted, and this was what I wanted some more of. After the service, I spoke to one of the elders, and I just couldn't stop smiling. I just knew that this was, yay. I wanted more of it. Whatever it was, I wanted more. So obviously, he invited me to come to a Sunday service. And I just couldn't wait for Sunday to come. It was just unbelievable. And the first time I went there, I just knew that I belonged. And I just found somewhere where I could be myself. I found somewhere where I wouldn't be judged or rejected for past sins, for the choices that I'd made in my life. And this was the place where I knew I was called to be. And I gave myself to Jesus about 3 or 4 weeks later. And I was baptized the following March. So that would be 2008. And Psalm 27 became like a mantra to me almost. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And I had a friend in church who became my church, my prayer partner. And she was an artist, and she made me this beautiful picture of the words of the psalm. And it's there every morning when I wake up, and it's just an amazing, amazing scripture. So I went on to do the Alpha course, then it became the Beta course. I did Freedom in Christ, and I was a different person for some time. And I conquered my drinking habit. I had a lot of counselling, and I talked through an awful lot of past things. But I became this different person, and I actually liked myself for the first time in years. I was still a manager at work, but in a different place. But again, it started to become an issue. I was passed round from management role to management role, and I knew I was struggling. And I started to lapse, sadly to say. I'd had a week's holiday booked after, it was after Christmas the following year. And I was dreading going back to work, and I remember I'd been sent to a store which was 40 minutes drive away for me. It was not a good job, and I was clearly struggling. But I remember that day that I went back on that Monday, and I remember it as clear as day. It was raining, and I was driving to work, and I was miserable. I didn't want to go. And I heard a voice saying quite clearly to me, "What are you doing?" And I just thought, well, I'm going to work. What do you think I'm doing? I didn't know who it was or what it was. But anyway, I just brushed it off, drove to work. But as soon as I walked through the door, I knew I just couldn't do the job anymore. And I knew that I just turned round. I went to my boss, and he said, "You can't do this anymore." And I said, "No, I can't." And I, there and then, on that first day back, I gave up that role of management completely. And looking back onto it, it was God that was speaking to me. He knew that I could not do that job anymore. And he was telling me quite categorically, "What are you doing? You are in the wrong place. Stop." Psalm 23 that night really, really spoke to me. And I'm going to say it now because it's just the most beautiful psalm. And I know we all know it, but it spoke to me daily, and I had it on the cupboards and on the fridge and wherever. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows, And surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I think that is just, it's just amazing. So my life changed yet again, and I was finally at peace. Again, God had saved me. He had saved me so much. He had kept my car safe when I was probably not fit to drive. I was safe. Everybody else was safe. God had saved me. He had been with me and protected me all that time. I'd learnt some tough lessons that year, a lot of tough lessons. And I know that, as in Isaiah 41:31a, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. And with God's grace, I did soar. I found my gifting. I finally found my gifting. I could sing. And I began to sing at church. I learnt the basics of guitar playing. And I became the worship leader for the Beacon Church. And I absolutely loved it. Worship became such an integral part of my life. Song worship. And I knew that this was where God had put me, and this was where God wanted me to be. Because what I lacked in skill, and I do lack in skill, I made up in passion for Jesus. And my passion was just, it was there. And I just loved to see people worshipping God. And I still love to see people worshipping God. It is just where I'm meant to be. And life was great. For probably about 8 years, I did this. But times move on. And about 2 years ago, I began to sense that a change was happening. Things started to happen within church. There was change happening at the Beacon. And although I was still the worship leader, things were moving on, things were changing. God started to nudge me in a different direction. Was this where he really wanted me now? And I spent an awful lot of time just praying and praying what it was and what was the next season in my life. I realised that I think the time had come to move, but I wasn't sure how that was going to manifest itself, where I was going to go, or what I was going to do. I loved going to Cambodia. I've got friends who are missionaries in Cambodia, and for a while I thought perhaps that was where God was going to put me. But the last time I went over there, he spoke quite clearly to me and said, no, this is not where I want you to be. This, go back. There is something else I want you to do. He placed a very, very good friend in my path who supported me very, very much and encouraged me to explore the options, where God wanted me to be. And then I realised it was to move closer to home. Jeremiah 29:11, Rob, you've already mentioned it this morning. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. It became so prominent. Somebody sent me a card with it on. It just became part of my life. And so I started to look around, and I knew I enjoyed coming back to Lincolnshire. So I started to look on the website for jobs. That's unfortunately, I can't just get a move with Boots now. You have to find a job and get it. I came for an interview. I came and I had a lovely day here, but the job didn't work out. So I knew it wasn't to be. So I went back, and I was quite happy to just carry on being what I was doing. And I prayed about it, and I prayed about it. And I just literally yelled to God, what are you trying to do? Where am I supposed to be? I didn't know. I felt a little bit in limbo. And he definitely said to me, be patient. My timing is right. I will tell you when. And then sure enough, when I least expected it, in September, I got a phone call. And the job was there, and I was offered a job without even coming and having an interview. I needed somewhere to live. I needed something to, and doors just kept opening. Every time I prayed, another door would open. Every time I came across another door, I prayed, and it opened. Within 3 weeks, I'd got a new job. I packed up the house. I'd got a new house here within a week of moving, and I'd moved. And then I started work the following week. So Lincolnshire is my home, and I know that this is where God wanted me to be. So I was full of hope and expectation. But then I came down to earth with a bump. The job was appalling. I have never worked in a place that was in such a mess. And it was awful. And I missed everybody so, so much. And I was just here on my own with the cat, stuck in a job I didn't like, with people who I did like, but we just didn't seem to be able to get ourselves out of the situation we were in. And then I became ill, and I was really poorly. I got over that, and I kind of, that Christmas, it was Christmas, not this year, the year before, things started to turn a corner, and I started to feel better about myself, and I realised, I've moved here now, this is where I'm supposed to be. Come on, you've got to grab it by both hands and get on and do it, and go for it. And it was great. For 3 months, things started to turn a corner. And then COVID hit. And everything that I'd started to enjoy and I'd looked forward to doing and going and being, it was almost like somebody whipping the tablecloth out from underneath me. And I was so distraught. And again, I missed everybody. I felt isolated. And again, I began to struggle again. I found this church, but I wasn't sure because it was so different to what I was used to, and fear took over, and I wasn't sure whether it was right or whether I could fit in. I began to rely on this good friend of mine, and I began to rely on my own understanding, and I began to question, why God, why have you put me here? If you wanted me to come here, why are you making me feel like this? Things, again, I had two really bad episodes of sickness, and I lost hope. And I bought a bottle of gin, and I drank it. And then I went and bought another one, and I drank that as well. I relied on my friend, and he let me down very, very badly. But this time I knew I was doing wrong, and I knew I needed help. I spent a whole night, and I just cried out to God, and I recited, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I recited it over and over, and I really thought that God had forsaken me, but he never did. God never did. He gave me another scripture. I can do Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I was signed off work again. I was struggling. The doctor realised. My boss realised. But I picked up the phone and I phoned my pastor. And I came back to the church. And I came back to the place where I was meant to be. And I thank you, Rob, for being there to pick up the phone and speak to me. I began to journal, which I'd left behind. And I picked up a book and I literally filled page after page after page. Yes, I was on my own, but I wasn't on my own because I prayed. I had my Bible. And I realised he'd been teaching me patience. I needed to be humble and I needed patience. And God sees things through in his time, not in our time. Not when we want it, when it's right and when he wants it to happen. I had been living in the past. And I guess when you're on your own, you do that to a certain extent. And I guess I was grieving for a season that was great, but it was time for a new season, and I knew that. I picked up a book about loneliness, and it was called How to Be Alone and Not Lonely. And I read it in about half an hour. And I know one of the things that it said, it's a little workbook and you work through it. But in Deuteronomy 31:8, and this is part of the book as well, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And I began to realise that, yes, I was grieving, but here is where God put me, and here is where my life is. I won't forget the past, but that's the past. My friends are still my friends, but I'm now embracing the now and the future instead of living in the past. This is where I'm meant to be. I am happy. I am more fulfilled, and I am at peace. I'm no saint. My life is like everyone else's, and I do make mistakes every single day, and every single day I have to pray and repent. But I know that God is teaching me, and God has been with me through every single step of my life. I do have the usual challenges, but now my relationship with God is strong, with Jesus is strong. He's part and parcel of my life. I don't know if you've probably all heard the poem, Footprints, it's called, and it's stuck on my wall. He's always with us. When we are at our lowest, he carries us. There will only ever be one set of footprints because God carries us. He's with us all the time. It's always a struggle. Day to day is always a struggle. And I know that I will always have him. And he's all we all need to get through the tough times. It's not just about me, it's about God seeing us through the tough times. He's worked time and time again in my life. And I shared this with Rob earlier on today. My ex-pastor, the pastor at Beacon, who's still the same guy, phoned me this week. And when I first told my testimony, when I was baptised, it was so well received that they used it on the website. They videoed me and filmed me to encourage other people, which was absolutely brilliant. But they've just bought a new church, a new building, and they're going on a fundraising. They've asked me to use my testimony yet again. So God is using my testimony to help others. And that is the best thing that I could have heard this week. This is right to share this with you guys. And it's the right time. Because it is part and parcel of me. And without going through what I went through, I wouldn't be the person that I am now. I wouldn't be here now. My passion for God is I hope it's apparent. I love to worship. And it gave me my life. And I am so, so grateful. Every single day of my life, I say thank you. Many, many times I say thank you a day. And he is all we need to get through the tough times. And that will be if that's the only thing that I leave behind in this world, then that is what I'm happy to leave behind. And I just finish with another scripture because it is right. It's Isaiah 12:2. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Praise be to God and amen.